The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you had a great weekend. And hopefully supply chain issues are not messing up your Christmas plans. And you're getting that done. We started ordering a few weeks ago, so that's been helpful. Do we shop anywhere anymore? Or do we just sit in the car, sit at home, sitting on the couch, watching, binging Netflix, and then ordering from Amazon Prime or whatever? Pretty amazing days that we live in. So, but I hope you're going to enjoy this month, incredible month, Christmas month, which we should have a focus all year round. Of course, we all know that. But there is something special about the December, and so we are hoping we're in festive in the Noble House. All the decorations are up. So we're psyched for that. It's been a little warm here in Raleigh, so that doesn't feel very Christmassy. But I wonder what that's like if you were to live, for example, in Phoenix, Arizona. If you live in Arizona and it's Christmas time, I wonder if that feels Christmassy or not. So let's ask our friend David Fisher with Landmark Capital. A Full Money Monday today. And if you've wondered why we talk about this once a week, and so the first Monday of the month, which we happen to be in, today is Monday, December 6th, we'll do a full hour on the show about Money Monday and financial issues, so on and so forth. And then every other Monday, the other Mondays, we just do a little Money Monday update in the last segment of the show. We talk about it regularly because Jesus and the scriptures talk about it regularly, and that should tell all of us something. And so our good friend David Fisher helps us understand these complicated issues. David, Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas. It's 78 degrees here.
Wow, so that's kind of wintry weather in Arizona. Are you on a speakerphone, by the way? The connection sounds a little funky.
No, I'm not. It does sound like a backlash. It's coming back in my head.
Yeah,
so
I don't know what's...
call you right back.
Yeah, why don't you try that right quick? Just call back, and we'll try to get a better line. Yeah,
sounds
thanks.
Good.
All right, thanks. So we'll get David back on the line. Let me get rid of that, and he'll call back in. But 78 in Phoenix, Arizona, that's nice. Right? That's probably pretty cold to them. They probably all break out their winter coats. Probably North Face Day in Phoenix, Arizona right now. Yeah, Scott, some folks on Facebook Live said we couldn't hear them. I mean, I could hear them, so that means everybody else should be able to hear them. Everything's coming. You might need to. David's not on right now for everybody on Facebook Live. We dropped the call because he had a really bad sound qual, so he's calling back right now. But I also wanted to mention I've just put up a link on the Facebook Live feed for today of a sermon I heard on Friday. If you're just in tough season of life and you're wondering where God is, if you ever struggle with God's providence, there's a message there that I want you to listen to. It's Not As Bad As You Think by Philip DeCourcy, and fantastic pastor with an Irish accent out in California. I'll talk about it during the breaks, but I think we have David back. Let's see if we've got a little bit better connection. David, are you there?
Let's see if this works.
Yeah, it's
no,
a little better.
It's still doing the same thing.
It's still doing the same thing.
Another line here. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, do a landline. That'd be good. So we'll get that figured out. And but for those of you, if you're just in a tough season, we've had some things happen in the Noble House over the last several years, including a grandchild that was born about 6 months ago that we weren't expecting, nobody was expecting. And so you wonder, especially for our son, you wonder what's going on. Why is God allowing some of these things to happen? Some things you can control, like that particular situation. Other things you can't. The cancer diagnosis, the loss of the job, whatever, struggles with your children, wayward children, whatever the case may be. Sometimes it's hard to wrestle with God's sovereignty. So I want you, if you're in that boat in any way, please do yourself a favor. It's one of the best, if not the best sermon I've ever heard on God's sovereignty by Philip DeCourcy. It's Not As Bad As You Think. The link's up on Facebook Live. I think we have David back on a landline now. So let's jump back over there. David, are you there?
I'm here, but it sounds like everything's going through a feedback loop today.
Yeah, I'll talk to the folks in Winston-Salem and see about that. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, is it hard to get in a Christmas mood in Phoenix when it's like, well, today, is that kind of cold there in December, 78?
It's actually kind of nice. When I lived up in Washington, it was cold, you know, in the 30s and 40s, and that was a normal Christmas. When I first down here, it was I had to go through a big change mentally, having 80-degree weather during Christmas.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. What I think we're going to do, David, is we'll call you back from a phone in the studio.
Sounds good.
So we'll call you right back, and we'll get it figured out. I'm going to take care. Sorry, everybody. We have some fun with technology. Isn't that wonderful? So let me deal with this on the fly while we're doing all these things. It's just so much fun to deal with technology every once in a while. Is it not? So we'll see if we can get this figured out. Sorry, everybody. And then we'll get rolling. We'll try to get him on a landline and see if that fixes it. Because that's obvious. It's untenable. I can't listen to that. You can't listen to that. He can't listen to that. So that's not going to fly. By the way, we're trying to get him on the call. So by the way, on Wednesday, tomorrow, we had Michelle Woodhouse on the show the other day here in North Carolina running for Congress. And then another Christian woman announced recently she's going to run for Congress. She's going to call in tomorrow. And then Michelle's going to call back in because today was filing day. And there's some interesting shakeups here in North Carolina, like former Congressman Mark Walker, who is going to be running in the U.S. Senate. And over the last several weeks has had conversations with Donald Trump and some other folks. And now they are he's switching over to the House, which is interesting. That throws a curveball into some things. But they all go to officially filed today, and then a appellate court here in North Carolina reverses the decision of a superior court from last week and saying, no, nobody can file because maybe we think there's some hanky-panky going on with redistricting at the congressional level. This is a battle that happens regularly, by the way. So we'll talk to Michelle tomorrow about that because she was here in Raleigh to get all signed up today, and then they shut it all down literally minutes before they were all going to start filing. Let's see if we can get David on there. Hey, David. And then we just lost him. Okay, we'll keep trying again. And I'll probably just wait until after the break and see if we can't get it figured out. Obviously, something's going on. There's a ghost in the machine somewhere. And then Wednesday, just a little heads up. Wednesday will be my annual conversation about the big guy in red. Okay, the big guy in red. You should know who that is. I have this conversation every year. What do we do as Christians? What do we do every year as Christians with Santa Claus? But I don't feel it's my responsibility nor my role to come in and mess up your house. So Wednesday, if you have little children or grandchildren that might be in the background, we're going to have a adult conversation about the big guy in red. So there's a warning Wednesday, and we'll take your calls and have that conversation. And I do that every year early on in December because we did it for a while and then we stopped, and there's reasons behind it. I think we did the right thing, but it's always helpful for all of us to have that conversation. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Yeah, I can hear me. Yeah. Okay. I think we're back, and dear Lord, please let it all work. Let's go back to David Fisher. How are you, David?
I'm here. Hopefully, you're not hearing two of my voices.
No, it's still a little tin canny, but it's not terrible. Yeah. It's better now. So, anyway, thanks for being here. Sorry for that rough start, and we'll try to make the most of it. So, I was checking before we jumped on today. I was checking the markets, and of course, it's been a wild ride. We've been on this yo-yo up and down and up and down. But today, I mean, the market was crazy today. I'm looking at it right now, up 646 points, like a skyrocket today. Of course, if you look back, David, if I just go back 1 month, then I see almost all red. So if I go back to the beginning of November, we're up around 36.4, and even right now, we're still nowhere near that. So it's a wild ride. So what's going on?
Well, part of it is the new payroll report that came in at 210,000 new jobs added. They thought it was going to be 550,000 jobs added. And by the way, if this sounds disjointed, I'm hearing everything back in my ear in my phone, but we'll go with it. On top of that, Goldman Sachs says that the Fed is going to double the pace of tapering. So tapering means that the Fed's going to not buy as many treasury bills and mortgage-backed security. So the Fed's going to come out next week and probably confirm that the Fed is no longer the stock market's friend. It's the stock market's enemy. So there's not that support that we've had since 2008. So that all changed. That's why you're seeing this yo-yo effect in this new variant of COVID called Omicron. It's now out. The World Health Organization says there's no evidence that booster jabs will work for greater protection. I'm reading their quote. I'm not calling it a jab. I'm reading the quote.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to disrespect people. Yellen said Omicron could cause significant problems for the global economy. Chairman Powell says Omicron poses increasing uncertainty for inflation. The IMF downgraded the global growth due to Omicron. Omicron is causing market turmoil, anxiety, so is the Fed. And then the market's just, by any fundamentals, overvalued. And Moderna came out, speaking of vaccines, the president of Moderna said that we could go into a 50% drop in efficacy, and getting a new vaccination would take 6 months up to that amount of time. So it's going through mayhem as the market, and that's why you're going to see some more yo-yo effects, unfortunately.
Well, it seems like there's so many different factors at play here. We have, obviously, COVID in general. Then anytime anything changes there, like with the Omicron variant, then that throws in there. Then we've got what the Fed's doing. We've got Biden's approval numbers and what's happening there. Inflation, I was reading about inflation over the weekend, David, and now they're saying it's going to be another 6% next year. I mean, that's on the low end. And it's there's so many different things. It's like a perfect storm right now. I don't know that we can see ourselves coming out of this anytime soon.
I don't think it will come out of it anytime soon. When we get talking about inflation, there's a report that came out said it's going to be closer to 15% next year from a major entity saying that. So we've had some changes in the cycles. We used to have a 40-year cycle of low interest rates. Now we're moving up probably in interest rates. They announced it. In fact, we might have interest rates move up as soon as June of next year. And on top of that, we're seeing insiders. Here's a title. Insiders are dumping stocks at the fastest pace in history.
Jeez.
Hedge funds are liquidating stocks at furious pace. Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger warns that we're in the craziest bubble, even more than the dot-com bubble.
Man.
And a Japanese finance entity, Nomura, says the market is dysfunctional and we've shifted from a slowdown to a contraction. So just be careful. You don't want to be the one left holding all the marbles in the bag. You want to make sure you have some in cash and possibly some money in metals.
Yeah, and that's why when you look at a day like today and people, I mean, when I saw it, I'm like, you know, up 650 points. Oh, that's good. You know, back in good territory. But those are really anomalies. A day like today is an anomaly. The huge drop that we saw, a week ago is an anomaly. And it just seems like we have to kind of train ourselves, David, to not react on a daily basis like the market does. Otherwise, we're going to pull what's ever left of our hair out of our heads.
Yeah, there's mayhem right now in the market. It's on the surface of the market, but if you look below the surface, because the surface looks hunky-dory, but down below, the fundamentals, like all the insiders selling, all the hedge funds, and the technicals don't look good. So just be careful when those things match up, and when they match up to the fundamentals that the Fed is not going to support the stock market, it looks like, and we'll no more next week. It doesn't turn bullish, it turns bearish.
And so then, of course, President Biden signed a short-term government funding bill on Friday. More and more spending. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because whenever they talk about government shutdown, I'm always like, I put my praise hands up and I'm like, thank you, Lord, shut the government down at least for a while. But I don't know. All they're doing is signing and extending debt, taking out another credit card and continuing to play the game. I don't know that it really matters anymore at all because they're going to continue to extend the debt ceiling. They're always going to do this.
You just explained it really easy. All they did was put a stopgap bill in a little spending bill, which is just getting another credit card. Use either that or shut the government down. And, you know, I'm of your mindset. I've moved to that. It was like, let's shut the government down, you know. But, you know, it would cause massive default eventually. But so it's a kind of a two-edged sword. So, yeah, we avoided a shutdown, which is, I guess, the good news. But we didn't fix any structural problems, and this just gives more time for the infrastructure spending bill to get passed. Now it's $1.75 trillion. They actually want to make it $2.1 trillion is what they're changing. The stopgap gives us through about 11 weeks of spending till February 18th. The previous stopgap
happened in October, at the end of October, and went through just last Friday, and that was a half a trillion dollars. So I'm going to speculate this next 11 weeks is going to probably be $1 trillion of spending. And this is all because they haven't passed the 12 appropriations bill that they normally should have passed 9 months ago. So yeah. Our government is not functioning right. It hasn't functioned for decades, but it's getting worse. And they're just going to argue more about, you know, raising the debt ceiling. And at some point, it's going to cause a big problem.
It's interesting to me. It looks like all the projections right now, David, are that consumers, we're going to be spending big time this month for Christmas. At least that's what I'm seeing. Spending projections for Christmas are good. Yet inflation's a problem, which we're going to talk about a lot on the other side of the break. But I don't know that we should even pay attention to what's going on in the news with stories like that, because it's just people just not being responsible, and people aren't understanding, which is why the government can continue to do what it does. Nobody really knows what's happening. But I think with the inflation, the upside on that is that I think there's more people waking up, like we've seen in school board stuff. We saw that in the November election. I mean, I hope that the downward direction of the country can actually help to turn that direction if people begin to feel a little bit more pain at home. Or am I just being a masochist?
No, you're not. I think people are waking up. There's been a significant amount of people calling our company and are just highly, overly concerned about the direction of our spending of our country, and especially the administration. And we're going to get into that the second part of the hour here. I have some new news about Biden's pick for who's going to oversee our control over the currency.
Jeez.
And it's just staggering. Just even the thought that she's Biden's pick says,
I know.
I don't want to demean her, but we got to talk about this after the break.
We can love people as Christians and care about their souls while at the same time pointing out the fact that they're absolutely ridiculous for whatever role, or have a nefarious purpose, or just a bad person. We can walk and chew gum at the same time as we deal with these things. David, I'm going to put you on hold. Talking to David Fisher of Full Money Monday. So much more to talk about, especially inflation. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, a Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. I know it can be complicated. I know it can be fear-inducing when we talk about this stuff and inflation and what's going on with government spending and $28.5 trillion coming up on $29 trillion. We're not even talking about in the next 30 years unfunded liabilities of 70 to 120 additional trillion. And you don't even know what a trillion means. Nobody really understands what a trillion is. You can hardly get your mind around a billion. A trillion's 1,000 billion. A billion's 1,000 million. Just try to work through that. Like, let me ask you a little trivia question, then we'll get back to David because I want to talk about inflation. And again, David's at landmarkgold.com, so you can get some help and try to understand, especially the use of precious metals in your own portfolio or whatever you're doing from a retirement future perspective. You better have some diversity, because if all you do is have a sail up in the air and you don't have anything underneath your boat, you don't have a keel, you don't have any ballast, you're going to be in trouble. Okay, that's why diversifying when it comes to financial things is such a big deal. But just to get your mind around a trillion, okay, because you can't. Here's the riddle. How many years ago is 1 trillion seconds? 1 trillion with a T. 1 trillion seconds ago was how many years ago? 5? 50? 1,000? 5,000? The answer is 32,000 years ago. 1 trillion seconds ago was 32,000 years ago. And so, see, like I said, so when we say we're $28.5 trillion in debt, nobody can even really deal with that reality. David, welcome back. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you took $28 trillion, and I don't have the exact number, $29 trillion, imagine 10 football fields, a pallet full of $100 bills stacked up to your waist, 10 football fields, that's $29 trillion or somewhere thereabouts. Now, don't quote me on the exact amount, but it's somewhere around those numbers. 10 football fields.
Totally insane. And pallets up to your waist of $100 bills, covering all 10 football fields.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one. Yeah, I mean, it's mind-boggling to think about this. So let's land the plane a little bit. We'll come back down to earth because most of us can't understand that. There's a lot going on with inflation. Certainly, it's worse than the federal government wants you to think, certainly worse than a Biden administration wants you to think. And this is one of those things, whether you're listening or watching on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, if you don't have a bunch of savings, if you don't have a bunch of investments, inflation is something that affects absolutely everybody, and that's why this is something that we need to continue to talk about. Well, what's the latest news on this not-so-happy happening going on in the country right now?
So inflation is a real thing. It's affecting, according to a recent Gallup poll, 45%, almost half of the United States people are affected by inflation. Mm. And 10% are saying that they have severe hardship due to the cost of living going up. 35%, it's moderate. And of those that were polled, 71% of those living in households making less than $40,000 a year saying that the recent price hikes have caused their family financial hardship, and they believe it's going to get worse. So inflation is a real thing. Saxo Bank, this is a Danish bank out of Denmark, a very highly respected bank, very conservative. They're making a prediction that U.S. inflation, they didn't say global, they said U.S. inflation is going to reach above 15% next year.
Man.
We're at 6.7 right now. So you talk about inflation doubling, that's what they're saying, more than that. But there's lots of people, you know, Powell's saying we're going to have more inflation. He's finally admitting that, finally. He's not the only Fed person. Cleveland Reserve President Loretta Mester says that we're going to have inflation that could stoke due to Omicron. I want to keep saying that inflation is going to be as a result of that, but there is a correlation between COVID and inflation. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had what we're having. The government spends more, the Fed prints more, and this is their fix to keep the economy afloat. They're not letting the economy work through this on their own.
Right.
And this is why the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is now warning of an economic collapse unless we create more debt, is what they're saying, which is not the fix for this, but that's why we're on this wrong road. We're, you know, the Bible says that the road to hell is broad and wide, and many go by it.
Yep.
And that's the road that we're on right now on a global level, financially speaking. I'm not saying we're all going to go to hell financially. I'm saying it's a wide road. Most countries are doing just massive overspending, thinking there's no problem with this. There's no ramifications, and we'll fix it later. Yet the narrow road is where we should be on, having sound biblical principles and living within our financial means. But we're not even close to that road, unfortunately. And that's why inflation is going to become a lot worse than better.
Yeah, and that's a shocking number to think about, that 15% inflation next year. And it's hard to kind of put that into kind of practice in terms of understanding what it's going to do to you. I'm looking at a history of inflation rates right now, okay? U.S. inflation rate history and forecast, it goes all the way back to 1929. Okay, so we have numbers, really solid numbers going back to about 1954. I'm looking for anything north of 5%. Okay. In 1968, we had 6%. In 1969, we had 9%. Let's go to the Carter years. 1978, we had 10%. 1979, 12%. Get this, David. In 1980, the peak in 1980, just coming out of the Carter, going into Reagan, 18%. 18% inflation, and we're talking, and then 12 the next year, and then the worst since then has been, well, look at that. Now's the worst inflation we've seen since 2000, and it's gonna, and now we're talking 15%. That, I mean, this is back to the Carter days. I don't think people are understanding that or wrestling with that mentally or emotionally.
I just read an article this morning that's titled "The Long-Term Cycles Have All Turned." And so they're talking about exactly what you're saying. We were 40 years of a low interest rate environment. Now we're in an unknown, a consequential period of time that interest rates are going to start to move up. We were in a 40-year period during the same time of low interest rates, a low inflation, low deflation, and now everything moves inflationary. And we're in a speculative debt asset bubble, and also debt with our country and the Fed purchasing our debt. So we're in a total different environment. I said a couple years ago on your program, It's not going to stay this low inflationary environment forever. When it changes, it's going to be violent, and it's not going to be just a year. It's going to be a decade of inflation, and that's where we're at. Everything I said, and it unfortunately, it's going to get worse. I'm not a doomsdayer, but we have to go through this for it to get better, and this is what the Bible talks about, cycles, rising and falling of nations powers and everything. It's just, it is here, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm looking at another chart. We haven't seen this high of inflation in, let's just use October. This year, because this chart isn't quite up to date, historical inflation rates for the United States of America. So in October, David, it was at 6.22%. The last time we were at that was in 1981. That was the last time we saw inflation in October like we saw just 2 months ago. And it's really a shocker. You mentioned earlier, anything else on inflation? Any other news you want to throw You mentioned Biden's pick to deal with the currency. And this is another one of those things for most people I think is probably flying under the radar.
I wish it would fly off the radar like it doesn't exist. But it's unfortunately in the radar, and it's in the focus. And it, who is this person? Her name is Sally Omarova. I'm not going to demean her as a person. I just don't like what she stands for. I watched over the weekend hours of YouTube videos on her interview. I saw it firsthand. I read hours of articles. I was disturbed last week. I was furious over the weekend. I will mention a few things we mentioned before, and then we're going to move on to some new information that I'm finding out. Not her as a person, but her, what she believes, what we should do. She's self-educated, Cornell University law professor, very smart lady. She came from, born in Moscow, came from Russia, immigrated over here. She thinks, and this is reported in the Wall Street Journal, asset prices, pay scales, capital, and credit should be dictated by the federal government.
Jesus.
She didn't say this years ago. She said this year in her papers that were published. And the Wall Street Journal picked them up. They were published in a thing called the People's Ledger. She wrote a 60-page report, started reading most of it. She proposed also that the Federal Reserve take over consumer bank deposits, effectively ending banking as we know it. She also would like to create a U.S. central bank digital currency like Venezuela, China. If she's nominated for the office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, she would regulate $15 trillion and 1,200 banks. I watched the her being before Congress, and she. Here's what was said in Congress last month. She advocated full migration of all demand deposits to the federal balance sheet, and proposed a reform effectively ending banking. Republican Pat Toomey said this in Congress. So, in other words, you couldn't have an account at a community bank. And your money would be held by the government and the Federal Reserve now.
Which makes a bail-in sound like child's play at that point, since they're now going to, under this woman's control, control all of our deposits. That's, I don't even know what words to use for that. We're talking to David Fisher. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, doing a Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com. And David, we're in the final segment of the show, but we have close to 11 minutes, so we have plenty of time to run. And we, as always, appreciate you being here today and helping us understand these complicated things. We're talking about Omarova something I said during the break for Facebook Live and YouTube Live, folks. David, was what does it tell you about the administration that they nominated this woman in the first place? She's a flat-out Marxist communist. I mean, but they nominated her anyway.
In fact, Senator Sherrod Brown says, quote, "I care greatly about this nomination, and we're going to make it happen," end quote. He's the head, the chairperson of the Senate Banking Committee. He's pushing for this to happen, and Elizabeth Warren's behind it, and many other Democrats, unfortunately. I want to clarify a little bit what she said in the bank accounts. And Pat Toomey, Republican, clarified. He says, let me read from her paper on this. He says, I quote, "Central bank accounts will fully replace rather than easily coexist with your current current private bank account." So in other words, he's saying, you couldn't have if you couldn't have your normal account and a Federal Reserve account. All your money gets transferred to the Federal Reserve. And he says, she goes on and says that her proposal to control your money with these individual Fed accounts, including when necessary, says, and I quote, implementing a contractionary monetary policy. In other words, for those that are not accountants, it means debiting, subtracting money from your account. The Fed will have the ability to do that. And he goes on, and she also, at a social wealth seminar in reference to oil and gas, she said, quote, we want them to go bankrupt if we want to tackle climate change, end quote. So her ideas, any idea she has with association with the OCC and controlling your money, involves significant dramatic expansion of the government oversight and control of your bank deposits. She actually goes as far as she wants to create an entity called the National Investment Authority, which the OCC would oversee, and Congress would not oversee the OCC in this.
Jeez.
It would be independent from the government and the Fed. And Mike Crapo, Republican, said this sounds just like Operation Choke Point, which was created by Obama in 2013, where they control where money flows into certain businesses and restrict it from others with different dependence on what your political views are, and they starve out certain healthy businesses. That's what this is. And if she doesn't even get elected, I hope she doesn't, but it looks like she's going to. Just because this is Biden's first pick should say a lot in and of itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaks volumes. Well, that the only thing, the only possible silver lining to this whole nightmare, David, is I did read a story last week, and this was reported, so it's not confirmed, that there were four Democrats in the Senate where this confirmation has to take place that were like, yeah, no. But the fact that, now here's the shocking thing, there's 50 Democrat senators, and only four of them allegedly would say no to an obvious Marxist communist person that wants the federal government to take over just about every aspect of financial lives out there, and only four of them. And the fact that they lifted this woman up in the first place is just a shocking admission that this is their worldview. This is their answer. I've asked this question on the air. I asked this question in my classes. We talk about it in my classes, David, with high schoolers. I'm like, what do you do with a failing business? I mean, you either sell it outright or you got to merge with somebody else or somebody buys you out. I don't know how you fix it. And I think this is how they think you fix it. The answer for the progressives and the liberals is always government. Always. It's not sound reasoning. It's not principles. It's not logic. Ideology trumps reality. And they're just going to drive this whole ship right to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, Toomey comments on that, and he says this is clearly the biggest aversion he's ever seen against free market capitalism. And he's, you know, telling his colleagues to say, don't think that there's any more radical choice. This is the most radical choice I've ever seen in our federal government. So you're exactly right. You're confirming the way and the belief our certain side of our country believes, and they're the ones that are in power, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they are 100% out of the closet across the board, financially, fiscal information. What do they want to do with the borders, the economy, everything? They're completely out of the closet, just like under Cuomo in New York when they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to allow abortions, literally up to the moment of delivery. And they light the town up pink, which is why for us as believers, David's a believer, I'm a believer. Boy, if we're not praying about these things, we're going to get exactly what we don't pray for. We need to pray against all this stuff because this is beyond human rationale to be able to fix at this point.
The rationale does not match up financially speaking, Jeez. Biblically speaking. It's not based on just weights and measures. And it is just, you know, the way you get out of debt is you stop spending. You don't dig deeper. You know, it's just ridiculous. But that's why we talk, because we have to be aware that it's just
not
first gear. It's fifth gear as fast as they can put us there.
Yeah, just shocking. So in terms of a response, I mentioned this early, diversification and what's going on with market news and gold and silver, and talk to us about understanding how that should play a role in our accounts and how we look at our future.
Well, I've always said don't put all your eggs in one basket. You wouldn't put all your money in gold and silver, and I would advocate and tell you do not do that. Don't put all your eggs in the paper basket or stocks. People that went through 2008 learned sometimes mostly the hard way. This is why we have advocated have some money in cash, have some money in stocks, have some money in real estate, have some money in precious metals. Be diversified. Don't Don't apportion to seven, apportion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you, is what the scriptures say. So in reference to that, we're moving into this the best environment for precious metals, inflation. And inflation is going to drive the global gold production higher in costs also, which means there's less gold being produced, which means higher in price. And this is reaching at a level, the highest it's ever been currently right now since 2013, the production cost. And this is from a data from Metal Focus. And on top of that, we're seeing the other side, that gold and silver now looks very attractive as inflation is here and as they print more money and spend more money. Thorsten Poletta, he's a chief economist for DeGusa, he said that central banks have no desire stopping the growing of inflation threat. And he said investors need to start looking at holding some physical gold and silver in their portfolios. Looking at the data here, it appears that even the commitment of traders, which is a where you go to bet against a product like stocks, or you bet against the Dow, you bet against for the Dow to go up, or you bet against different products up or down. It's called the commitment of traders. Now we're seeing that in the gold market, hedge funds are not betting against gold, they're betting for it. Singapore is adding gold to its stockpile for the first time in a decade, the central bank there. Ireland, first time in 12 years they're buying gold. A lot of central banks we mentioned previously are buying gold. And here's an analysis, an analyst called Goring and Rosenwalk. I've mentioned them before about 6 months ago. They just came out over the weekend. They said inflation is going to push greater than 9% next year.
Jeez.
You're going to see an explosion in gold prices to the upside. And they're calling for inflation to be the worst in the next decade and shortage in metals to be the worst. And they're saying, here's their numbers, not mine. By 2028, gold could reach over $10,000 an ounce and silver over $500 an ounce. And they're saying it will be the decade of shortages. Everyone is going to get poorer except for those people who own physical gold and silver, quote unquote. That does not mean that you put all your money in gold and silver.
Right.
That's what they're saying, is there going to be a big movement in this environment because of essential inflation happening in the marketplace.
Yeah, we continue to, and for the years we've been doing radio together, Dave, it's all about diversification, and don't put all your eggs in one basket, to simplify it. When everything's on one end of the teeter-totter, you know what happens when the other end changes. And or talk about a sailboat, and you got all your stuff above the water, that's the sail, and you don't have a keel, you have no ballast underneath the boat, that you're in a troubled spot. And we all know, I think everybody intuitively, David, knows that there is a major correction coming, that this house of cards just cannot sustain itself. And that's the whole role of having something like precious metals, is to give yourself something on the opposite end of the spectrum from regular things like stocks and mutual funds and stuff. What's on the other end of the teeter-totter? And I just hope people are understanding this and at least getting themselves educated, because that's really where it starts. You got to get educated first.
You know, when we first met, I was on two or three different national networks. Now I'm on six, and next month will be eight or nine. And yeah, there's a growing number of people who are waking up. I hear a lot of it happening. The volume of acquisition of metals is through the roof in my industry and at my company. People see the handwriting on the wall. They realize there is a cause and effect. You can't keep spending. You can't keep printing, and gold and silver is getting ready to bust out.
Yeah, and that's I mentioned this earlier, and this is just a personal anecdotal thing. 2 weeks ago, we got a safe deposit box, and the gold and silver holdings that my wife and I have, took it over to the bank, and it was, I tell you what, in the midst of everything going on right now, David, it was reassuring to have a significant portion of our nest egg in a precious metal that I could look at and hold and carry, and to put it in a safe deposit box where I know it's going to sit there and it's going to be there for me. Doesn't matter what the government does. Doesn't matter what the stock market does. That's going to be there. And when things get worse, that little holding inside of a safe deposit box is going to be really good for us. And I just hope people understand that and figure that out. All I can tell you is what it's meant to my wife and I, and it's so good to have that. But if people want to get more information, educate themselves, which is all I can ask them to do, what do they do?
They can call us to get that peace of mind and learn. 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575. 1-800-875-5575 or landmarkgold.com.
Or landmarkgold.com. Buddy, sorry about the rough start. Everything ended up being okay, but I owe you some minutes, so we'll take care of that in the future. But thanks so much for your patience.
We're fine. I'm not worried about that, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Amen. You're welcome. Merry Christmas, David. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.